Robert is a writer and editor. His most recent book, Globish, was published worldwide to international acclaim in 2010. From 1980 to 1996, he was editor-in-chief at Faber and Faber. And at the same time, he co-authored the BBC TV series The Story of English, for which he was awarded an Emmy in 1986. He was appointed literary editor of The Observer in 1996 and published Woodhouse: A Life in 2004. His account of his stroke, My Year Off, 1998, has recently been republished as a Picador classic. In 2012, he went into ebooks with Guardian Books, three collections of his journalism on writing, on reading, and on interviews. And he now speaks regularly on literary issues relating to the digital revolution. Robert is associate editor of The Observer and lives in London. Importantly for today, though, he is also our creative fellow with the Beckett Centre. And I think we should begin there. Perhaps more of the story on meeting Conor Carvel in the bar in Ireland.
Well, I was in Ireland because I was... And I have a strong Irish connection because my family come from the north. and my grandfather, who will be one reason why I will be able to get an Irish passport very soon, I'm very proud to say, and I'm actually applying for one, was born in Armagh in 1892. And I was over there for the Armagh Literary Festival, which is run by a couple of essentially BBC employees in Armagh, and it happens every year. It's sort of patroned by Paul Muldoon, the poet, and I was invited over there to give a talk 3 years ago, and I've gone back every year since because it's so much fun. Anyway, that particular year was the second year of the festival, and this bloke, Connor, came up to me in the festival is centred on a hotel called the Charlemont Arms, which I recommend very strongly if you're ever in Armagh. It's the great hotel. It never closes. And you can come down there at 6 o'clock in the morning and you can find people still drinking from the night before. You can have breakfast at 7 and it goes on all day. It's a great place. And anyway, this bloke, Connor, said, we got talking about Beckett. I don't know how this happened. And at the end of the conversation, he said, would you be at all interested in coming to the Beckett archive? So I said, yes. So, because I'm actually no longer the associate editor of The Observer, I left that. So I was looking for new things to do, and I've always been very passionate about Beckett. When I grew up at school, one of my very formative early experiences at school was seeing a production of Waiting for Godot at the Northcliffe Theatre in the University of Exeter when I was about 15, and it completely changed my creative life at that point. And so much so that 2 years later, just before I left, I've never told Edward Beckett this, I put on a production of Endgame, starring and directing me. So Beckett has been very much part of my growing up. And so when Connor said, would you be interested in coming to... And I knew a little bit about the art, I'd heard of it. But, I mean, what I've discovered is it's just a treasure trove of extraordinary material. I mean, audio, video... And of course, most important of all, possibly manuscript. Mm. And on my first meeting with Stephen and actually not the other colleagues, we went up into the archive and I was shown, which was a very great thrill, the manuscript of Murphy, which if you've ever got a chance to see it in the art, it's well worth seeing. It's an extraordinary document, not least because it's written in school notebooks. Blue school notebooks, and Beckett used to love to do doodles on his manuscripts. But what's really striking about the first notebook is the first 19 pages. He's done drafts, and they're all you see is crossings out. Every single page is crossed out, and then on the 20th page, he finds his voice, and there is the first line, the famous first line: "The sun shone on the nothing, having no alternative on the nothing new." And then the book takes off. And so just to see that was a great thrill. And the fellowship, just to move that on a little bit, which is a great privilege, and I'm loving doing it, because I'm learning about Beckett from the inside, having read him all my life, and having worked for Faber and Faber, who were his publishers. I'm now seeing him really close too, and I'm doing three things. And immersing myself in the archive. I'm making a radio programme for Radio 4, which we interviewed Jim last week, really to promote what I think of as essentially a well-kept secret. I mean, People do know about the archive, but it's not, I mean, I think it's an extraordinary collection, very much thanks to Jim and his colleagues to get it together. It's also faintly surreal to have Beckett in the Museum of Rural England. I think he would have loved that. And all those hay wains. And so it's, I get great pleasure from coming there, meeting Will and others. And so there's the radio. I'm hoping to do later on this year, before I retire from this position, have a Beckett Day somehow. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do that, but I think I want to involve Edna O'Brien, who's a friend of mine, who knew Beckett personally. And then the other thing I'm doing is there's three strands. There's a creative project.